On Wednesday's front page, a suicide bomber killed Afghanistan's number one negotiator with the Taliban. The bomb had been sewn into the assassin's turban. The Obama administration turned to an unusual lobbyist to keep Congress from blocking $50 million in aid for the Palestinian Authority. We'll find out who that was, and a scientific discovery about the sex life of squid. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says an assassin with explosives hidden in his turban killed the head of Afghanistan's peace process. The killer set off the bomb after being ushered into the heavily guarded home of Burhanuddin Rabbani. He was in charge of Afghanistan's peace council. Times reporter Ray Rivera says it's a potentially devastating blow for efforts to reconcile with the Taliban.
I traveled with Mr. Rabbani to his home province recently, where he was on a mission to urge warring factions to lay down their arms and join the reintegration process. But few legitimate Taliban fighters have laid down their arms. The assassination came as President Karzai was in New York meeting with President Obama before the start of the United Nations General Assembly. His death comes just days after a handful of militants effectively shut down parts of the capital in a 20-hour siege as they fired rocket-propelled grenades and machine guns toward the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters. The attack was a military failure for the Taliban, but like today's assassination, it may prove a symbolic victory.
Times reporter Ray Rivera. Last month, to be sure Congress wouldn't block $50 million in aid for the Palestinian Authority, the Obama administration turned to an unusual lobbyist. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told members of Congress visiting Israel, "Don't vote no." Times reporter Stephen Lee Meyer says it was a sign that the Israelis are close to the Republicans who control the House. That closeness is complicating the administration's efforts to head off a confrontation later this week, when the Palestinians put in their bid for full UN membership. The military's don't ask, don't tell policy is now history. The Marine Corps was the service that was most opposed to ending don't ask, don't tell. Now the Marines appear determined to prove they'll be the best at recruiting gay men and lesbians. On Tuesday, the Marines were first in the door with their recruiting table at a gay community center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Inspector General of the SEC is asking federal prosecutors to investigate whether former General Counsel David Becker violated conflict of interest laws. Becker had inherited $2 million from his mother's account with Bernard Madoff. The SEC barred some employees from working on the Madoff case because of possible conflicts, but Becker was exempt. Later, he intervened on recommendations for the payout formula for Madoff victims, even though Inspector General H. David Kotz says he had a personal stake in how the Madoff case turned out. At age 79, former New York Governor Mario Cuomo wants to be a banker. He's an investor in a group that wants to take over a small Long Island bank and expand into New York City. That could present problems for Cuomo's son. Another key investor is Governor Andrew Cuomo's closest outside advisor. And while the investors say they won't have any dealings with state government, the bank plans to lend to cash-poor municipalities that do rely on Albany. Now about that squid. Its name is Octopetutus delatron. It's the latest addition to the hundreds of species known to engage in same-sex sex. It also engages in opposite-sex sex. Actually, the males don't pay attention to the sex of the other squid. Times reporter James Gorman says, how could they? They live alone in the dark, deep down in the Pacific Ocean. Three British biologists say Octopetutus delatron is the first invertebrate known to mate equally with males and females. Among creatures with backbones, male bottlenose dolphins are in the same category. Inside Wednesday's Times, California Governor Jerry Brown is finding dealing with Republicans in Sacramento more difficult than the last time he was governor. That was 30 years ago. Now he's telling friends he wasn't prepared for how far Republicans won't go on critical issues. Brown told a friend that in one case he felt like he wasn't even on the same playing field in negotiating with a Republican lawmaker. The Republican insisted Brown was wrong in saying administrative costs don't account for the bulk of the state's budget for education. An American is joining the fabled Bolshoi Ballet of Moscow. David Hallberg has been a principal dancer with the American Ballet Theatre here in New York. He'll be the first American star to enlist permanently with the Bolshoi. Wednesday's Business Day section says President Obama's proposal for a new tax on millionaires echoes what's going on in Europe and Japan. Britain and France have already imposed new taxes on their highest earners, and Italy, Greece, and Spain are talking about it. Here, there's opposition from Republicans who say tax increases hurt the economy, but there are indications Americans may be open to higher taxes. One recent poll found that people feel they're less likely to get rich, so they're more willing to go along with a millionaire's tax. On the campaign trail, the Dodd-Frank law has a bullseye on its back. It was passed to address the causes of the financial crisis, but Republican presidential candidates say it's a job killer that should be repealed. They say it was too long, it weighed in at 848 pages, and they also say it contains rules on trading derivatives and swaps that reach beyond where government should go. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.